Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Basadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kundiki Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadweep Dham Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai Ganga Devi Ki Jai Samabeta Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Gaur Premanande Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bolo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in the first canto, which is entitled Creation. According to the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami says there are 10 subject matters discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10th, known as the Summon Bonum, the ultimate supreme good. The 10th canto describes the personality of the Supreme, all good. His name is Bhagavan Sri. Are we sure? I hope so. Very nice kirtan, Mataji. True ISKCON style kirtan. Very good. So we're in chapter 2, which is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Divinity, an English word referring to God, and divine service means using your senses, your knowledge acquiring senses, your executive senses, and especially the most important sense, the king of all the senses. Don't say tongue. Which is the chief sense? Mind. The internal sense. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? First words, man, mana. Think of me. When Krishna is explaining the option plan in chapter 12, first thing he says, just think of me always. So, divinity and divine service with our senses, beginning with even the shloka with Ambarish, because Ambarish did all the items of bhakti, all, how many items of bhakti? Nine. Ring your bell. That bell is for questions. So, Ambarish did all nine items of devotional service, but in that description in the ninth canto, what does it say? Savai mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. First, he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. And now, for the boy, where's the other boy? Oh, there he is. Okay. Yes, that's good. I like them split apart. Very good. So, this is for the boys. Boys? I forgot my question. Oh, yes. What is the easiest way to fix the mind on Krishna? Oh, what should we chant? Everybody. Very good, boys. You passed your first test. I'm going to try and make you look good in front of your guests. All right. Please repeat. Narayanam namaskritya. Narang Chaiva Narottamam Deving Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana. Everybody say? Unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being. Unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning. And unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Maheshji, could I ask you to close that door? Reason being is I don't want my mind to be carried away down that hall. I want my mind to stay here. As you see, I'm in Vrindavan. If you look at the pictures on the wall, we have Radha Shamasundar, we have Krishna Balaram, and my beloved Srila Prabhupada. And then Mahesh has his guru, His Holiness Indradumna Swami. Jai. Indradumna Swami told him he is his disciple. Did he not? Now, Mahesh, for some reason, your face looks very glowing today. You must have had some realization recently.
No, I'm in the amongst the Vaishnavas.
Is that why? Doesn't he look very special, glowing? I like the hair. I like the haircut. The haircut is good. No, but his eyes. Isn't his eyes shining? Yeah, he looks very effulgent. Is it the diet? The diet is working? The special diet?
Oh, yeah.
It's working?
That's
all right. We have to encourage.
Yeah, but he can easily lose weight. That's a surprise.
Yes, that's another order. Lose weight. I have to do the same thing. Okay, the way I do this class, before we go to Prabhupada's purport, for the sake of the boys, I give my quick, short purport to the verse. So, the speaker of this verse, Mahesh, and this is a rough one, who do you think is speaking this verse? You know who's speaking? Does Mahesh know? All right. Take a guess. Shukadev? No, he hasn't even entered the picture yet. He doesn't come to chapter 19. Sutta, yes. In chapter 1, the sage is headed by Shaunaka. And where are they? Where are all the sages? Where are they? And what is Naimisharanya? Is that a Disneyland? It's a forest. Ring the bell. Every time they ask a... Yeah, very good. It's a forest. We studied this last time. But it's been several weeks since we've had this class, right? 3 weeks? So I'm checking to see what they have comprehended. Okay. So, Sutta Goswami is speaking in Naimisharanya to the sages headed by Shaunaka. So, they want him to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Why do the sages, and there's several answers you could give. Mataji, do you know why the sages want Sutta to speak Srimad Bhagavatam? Do you know, Mahesh? Ring the bell. Yes, we studied that in chapter 1. I like this. And is there another reason why they want Sutta instead of somebody else? Right, the first recitation, he was there. So he's special. I gave the example. Reason why people like me is because I'm Prabhupada's disciple, not a disciple of a disciple of a disciple of a disciple. So you get the direct as far as you can. Okay, before reciting, so Sutta is saying, before I start, that, and he says now, Bhagavatam is the very means of conquest. Boys, conquest means to win, to defeat. Who do they want to defeat? Who do the sages of Naimisharanya, who do they want to conquer over? Al-Qaeda? Who do they want to conquest? Take a guess. All right, adults. Ignorance, good. What particular age? The age of Kali. Because we studied some already, the bad things of the age of Kali. People are short-lived, they're lazy, less intelligent, misguided, and always disturbed in the mind. Yes. Okay, so Bhagavatam is how they're going to conquest. One should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead. Everybody say, Narayan. Now, I just thought of it. I never thought of it before, but just now by your association. Narayan, why? Because it was Narayan, you will learn in Canto 2, was the first person to speak Bhagavatam. Who did he speak to? Yes? No, that's the forest. But before that, who was the first recipient of Bhagavatam? No, he comes much later. Yes, ring that bell 3 times. Yes, Lord Brahma. He's the first person. There's nobody else. So Narayan speaks how many verses? 18,000? How many verses does he speak to Brahma? Oh, Mahesh, I love you. Ring the bell. No, this makes me feel good when the student answers the question. That means I'm doing my job. And that means you're doing your job. Later on, I want to get a hug. I'm very proud of you, Mahesh. It must be the haircut. You've let the brains have enough air. Excellent. Excellent. Oh, so good. One should offer respectful obeisances unto Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi. Now, later on, you will learn that Nara Narayan Rishi is actually Krishna Arjun. Later on. Oh, you knew that. Oh, do you want to give that? You thought that was funny, huh? Yeah. That's the idea. Make it fun. So Nara Narayan Rishi is represented as Krishna and Arjuna because one day in Dwarka, Arjuna is about to commit suicide. And Krishna saves Arjuna from committing suicide by taking him to see Mahavishnu. Because Mahavishnu had stolen 10 sons of a Brahmin. Every time the Brahmin's wife would give birth, the child would die. On the 10th time, Arjuna said, I will protect your 10th child. But as soon as the child was born, shoop, flew up in the air and disappeared. Could you imagine? You're watching that. Oh, you guys are very smart. Very good. So when they went to see, so Krishna took Arjuna to see Mahavishnu. Krishna called his special chariot with 4 horses. Let's see if I can remember the names of the horses. Megapushpa, Balahaka, Shaivya, and Sugriva. And they have different colors. One is ashen, like ash. One is gray, like charcoal. One is like the color of ice. And I think one is green. Can't remember for sure. So Krishna's chariot took Krishna and Arjuna. They went through the heavenly planets. They went through the Brahma Jyoti. When they were entering the Brahma Jyoti, the horses got startled because the Brahma Jyoti is all powerful light. So the horses were hesitant, but Krishna said, no, let's go. So they pierced the Brahma Jyoti and they saw Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu, the reason why Mahavishnu stole the babies is because he wanted to see Krishna. Mahavishnu was not able to enter Dwarka to see Krishna. Can you imagine? That means Dwarka is so protected that unless you have priority pass, you cannot enter Dwarka and see Krishna. Mahavishnu could not enter Dwarka. So Mahavishnu said, okay, if I can't see Krishna, I'll make Krishna come see me. Yes. No, Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is the first. Then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. than Sri Radakshaya Vishnu. Is that your question? Okay. They are known as the Purusha avatars. I love giving class here because I can look at Radha and Krishna, Shama Sundar. I don't need to go to Vrindavan. I'm in Vrindavan right now. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya. And Krishna's smiling at me right now. Thank you, Krishna. Yes, Prabhu? Oh, okay. Very nice. Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan. Okay. So when they visited Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu told Krishna and Arjuna, oh, you should return to earth because you are my incarnations of Naranarayan. This is all explained in Krishna book towards the end, the second to the last or the last chapter is all about this pastime. Okay. The supermost human, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Now we study this. Who told Vyasadeva to compile Srimad Bhagavatam? We study this in practically the first class. Who told Vyasadeva to compile Srimad Bhagavatam? Narayan, close. No, who? Not Shukadeva. Now you. Narada Muni. Your husband is a Bhagavatologist. He's a Bhagavatologist. Very nice. Vyasadeva was told by Narada to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, let's look at the purport. Srila Prabhupada's purport key. Now, are you all enjoying this class? It's okay? Mataji? Is it as good as your kirtan? I hope so. All the Vedic literatures and the Puranas are meant for conquering the darkest region of material existence. So you were right, ignorance. Very good. Ring the bell for a minute. There you go. The living being is in a state of forgetfulness of his relation with God due to his being overly attracted to material sense gratification from time immemorial. It means you can't trace it out. Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, you cannot trace out when you began your material existence. What does that indicate? This statement, you cannot trace out your material existence, means what? Not only that, it means something else. Think of back to Godhead. What else does it mean? Okay, I'm going to use a little logic here. I want you to think like a Brahmin. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how old are you? All of us. We're all 11 years old. According to the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how old are we? Not infinite, but you're on the right track. We're eternal. Doesn't second chapter of Bhagavad Gita say you were never born? Yes or no? Are we all reading the same Bhagavad Gita? The Bhagavad Gita says you were never born. So that means what? Nirantara. You always existed. So if you cannot trace out when your material life began, means originally where were you? You were in Kali Yuga? No. You're missing the point. Ah! Ring that bell 10 times. If your material life, if you can trace out when your material life began, that means it did have a beginning point. So that was where, if you always existed, then where were you before your material life began? That's the question. You were with, as he said, with Krishna. Do you get that? That's called brahminical logic. I'll take it step by step. The sentence was, you cannot trace out when your material life began. If something begins, it means there was a point in time when it wasn't there. Then we established that we always existed. So, if you always existed and your material life began, where were you before your material life began? And the answer is with Krishna. Now do you see? That's called Brahminical logic. When you study Prabhupada's books, you become a transcendental lawyer. That's how lawyers think. They use different things of law. Are you a lawyer? Is your mother a lawyer? What is your profession? What is her profession? Real estate. Okay. Before that, did she always do real estate? Oh. Okay. Then she should give the class. How am I doing as a teacher? How am I doing? Am I okay as a teacher? Okay. I'm good. All right. My English is hard to understand. Huh?
I understand English, but I can't.
Accent is different.
She doesn't understand American accent.
Oh, she knows the British.
Indian.
I'll try my best. His struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual. And it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans. If he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must, look at that word, reestablish his eternal relationship with God. So that's another point. That means it was already there, it was lost, now we're going to reestablish. You follow what Prabhupada is insinuating here in these words? Reestablish. For instance, say you bought a house, you're making house payments, but you lost your job and the bank is going to foreclose. But that, oh yeah, you're real estate. So you know all about this. So all of a sudden, before you lose the house and you're about to lose the house, you reestablish your ability to pay the rent, the mortgage. You were doing it. You stopped. Now you're re-establishing. So that means we always had our relation with God, as you pointed out so nicely. And one who wants to adopt such remedial measures must take shelter of literatures such as the Vedas and the Puranas. Maheshji, Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita that actually in modern man, he doesn't have time to read all the Vedas. So what should he do? That's it. Stop while you're ahead. That's right. Just read one Bhagavad Gita because that book is enough. Bhagavad Gita is a complete summary of all the Vedas. I'm saying, what did Prabhupada say in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, chanting, of course. Chanting is the answer to every question. Yes. But specifically in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada makes this point that modern man does not have time to read all the Vedas. Okay, so you're saying, I see where you're going. Your point is, what if I can't read? Then, chant. All right, so she falls into what I was saying. All right, and if you can't read, then chant. And if you can do both, that's better. Really? Yeah, but how can you understand Bhagavatam unless you first read? Now, if you know Bhagavad Gita, yes, then you can read Bhagavatam. That's true. But not if you don't understand it. It may be the most important, but if you don't understand, like I'm sure your mother, if she gives me a legal contract on a house, I don't know what I'm doing. Because I don't know the language, the code words. So it's advisable, and we already studied that actually. Prabhupada said that earlier in one of our classes. One should thoroughly know Bhagavad Gita before attempting to digest Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, whatever they say, who cares what they say? We care what Prabhupada says. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are you still enjoying the class? Good. Foolish people say that the Puranas have no connection with the Vedas. However, the Puranas are supplementary explanations of the Vedas. Boy, supplementary means something added to something that you're already doing. Just like your daddy and me. We take vitamin supplements. Right, Mahesh? We take vitamin supplements. Because the food in the age of Kali is not so good. Yes, you have a question? Okay. Supplementary explanations of the Vedas intended for different types of men. All men are not equal. They are men who are conducted by the mode of goodness. Others who are in the mode of passion. And others under the mode of ignorance. The Puranas are so divided that any class of men can take advantage of them and gradually regain their lost position and get out of the hard struggle for existence. Srila Sutta Goswami shows the way of chanting the Puranas. In other words, this verse, before Sutta is going to talk, he's offering his obeisances to Narayan, Sarasvati, Naranarayan Rishi. That was the verse. So that's what Prabhupada is referring to. Sutta Goswami is showing us the way of how you chant the Puranas. Just like before I spoke, what did I do? I said my pranam mantras to Prabhupada. Then I offered respects to Panchatattva. And then we all chanted Hare Krishna. We did Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Following in that same line. This may be followed by persons who aspire to be preachers of the Vedic literatures and the Puranas, such as me. I aspire to be a preacher. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana and is especially meant for those who desire to get out of the material entanglement permanently. Ring that bell. What's your question, my son? Can I call you my son? Okay.
From the translation, why Sarasvati? I mean, I know Srila Prabhupada oftentimes says you don't need a...
She's a special person. You'll see, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are mentions of Mother Sarasvati, even in the statements of Lord Chaitanya. So it is an accepted principle in Veda culture that you give special recognition to Mother Sarasvati because she's not a materialistic demigod. She's the goddess of learning.
Yeah, that's why even in my culture also they said that, you know, before you study, you always
pray for Sarasvati.
That's like Hinduism materialism. No, but either way. Look, do you think Sutta Goswami is in Maya? Sutta Goswami is telling us, pay respects to, she covers both. She covers both. Because the Vedas have both. The Vedas have material knowledge, and the Vedas have transcendental knowledge. Yes, so these boys, if you know, do you know some mantra? You should find out from your mom. Some mantra, so that would help them in their schoolwork. I recommend this. Ring the bell. I recommend. Like my son-in-law, when he was studying for the bar exam, he got a little deity of Hayagriva. Hayagriva is a form of Krishna, golden with the head of a horse. Four-handed, but he has a horse head. Hayagriva is also worshipped for knowledge. So my son-in-law would spend 6, 7, 8 hours every day studying for the bar exam, legal, to become a lawyer. So he worshipped a little form of Krishna known as Hayagriva, because he heard that Hayagriva, yes, because Hayagriva spoke the Vedas one time to Lord Brahma, when Brahma lost the Vedas, like we sometimes misplace our keys. Lord Brahma misplaced the Vedas. So Lord Hayagriva, and it was Lord Hayagriva who killed the two demons, Madhu and Kaitaba. Like Krishna's name is Madhusudana. So the form of Krishna that killed the two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, was Hayagriva. Hayagriva, head, neck of a horse. But he's Narayan, he's God. Yes, sir. Who would be the person? I'll have to think about it. Send me an email, I'll meditate. Who? Yes, of course. We don't go outside of ISKCON. I know the person. Are you on Facebook? Okay, make a note of this. You want to look up the devotee Gaura Keshava. He's in Hawaii. Now, this Gaura Keshava Das is my godbrother. Very unique individual. He was accepted and initiated. Besides Prabhupada, he went to South India and got fully trained up in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And he is, practically speaking, the only Westerner who was allowed to do worship in the Ranganath Temple. He has an apartment right there in the temple. That's how good he is. Gaura Keshava. He spends 6 months in India and 6 months in Hawaii. And he's a very funny guy. He'll have you laughing. He loves to tell jokes. Gaura Keshava. He is on the ISKCON deity panel. Like, there's a conference of senior devotees that decide on all the deity standards for ISKCON. He's one of the members. He would know. Of course you can mention my name. Otherwise I wouldn't have told you. And I would like you to mention my name so I get credit. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, he knows me. He knows my wife. We hung out. I visited him in Hawaii a couple of years ago when I went. So Aditi, my dear Aditi, notice the last sentence. Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana and is especially meant for those who desire to get out of material entanglement permanently. So, if you're not interested in getting out of material existence, what are you doing reading Bhagavatam? It's not meant for fulfilling your karmakanda. It's meant for, okay? Shall we go on to the next verse? Is everybody happy? Any complaints? Criticisms? All right. Text number 5. Please repeat after me. Munaya sadhu prishtoham. Bhavadbir lokamangalam. Yat krita krishna samprashno. Yenatma suprasidati. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. I love that bell. Do you know Budgie Narayan? He loves that bell. And if I don't ring the bell in San Diego, he'll say, Prabhu, where's your bell? Ring the bell. Go ahead with your question.
Prabhu, I just want to comment, supersedity. I've heard of that word a lot.
That's right, because it's going to appear a couple of more times. What is the translation of that word?
Completely pleased.
Have you ever been completely pleased? I am right now. In your association, speaking on Bhagavatam, I'm completely pleased. And the boys are being very good. See, you guys need to come because the boys are on their best behavior. Am I right? Gaura Keshava Das. Okay. Can I explain the verse now? This is the Nirantara purport. So, Suta Goswami is speaking to who, boys? Who is Suta Goswami speaking to? Excellent. Where are the sages? Thank you, boys. Thank you. So, I have been justly questioned by you means, in chapter 1, they asked him how many questions?
Nine.
Not nine. Less. More. One less. Six questions. So in chapter 1, I wonder where they got nine from. You said? Oh, so you're thinking they heard nine, so they figured, okay. All right. So, six questions. And here Sutta is approving of their questions. Because sometimes when you're speaking, you get really ridiculous questions. And so sometimes you answer them, and sometimes you make a joke. But if the question is really dumb, you just go, no, I'm not going there. So here, Sutta Goswami is justly questioned. He likes the, how many questions? Thank you. The six questions. And they're worthy. It means they're good questions. Why? Because they relate to Lord Krishna. Prabhupada makes a point of this. Why are we interested in the battle of Kurukshetra? Why? There's only one reason. Yes, because Krishna's there. We're not interested in Iraq, Iran, because Krishna's not there. We're interested in Kurukshetra or India, right? Why does people want to go and for Tirtha? Because who was in India? Yes. I don't think Obama went to India yet. He did? Obama went to India? Ring that bell. Attaboy, Obama. Where did he go? Did he go to Delhi? Where did he go? Oh, of course. Oh, okay. He didn't go to Mumbai? You know that? He says he knows. He might know. Okay. And our soul, our relevance to the world's welfare. So this answers another question. When Prabhupada was asked in Philadelphia by a reporter, what does your movement do for social welfare work? And it's very unique, Prabhupada said to the reporter, when you put foodstuffs into the stomach, the whole body is nourished. And the guy was like, huh? No, Swamiji. What does your movement do for the social welfare? And again, Prabhupada says, when you put food into the stomach, it nourishes. And the guy said, Swamiji, I know the problem is with me, but I'm trying to ask a question. What does your movement, then Prabhupada said, when you water the root of a tree? Yes. So the guy changed the question. But what Prabhupada was trying to tell him is that when you worship Krishna, everybody benefits. When you ask questions about Krishna, everybody benefits. The person who's asking, the person who's answering, and the audience. So that's why it says here, our relevance to the world's welfare. I wish I had my own radio station where I could talk for 24 hours about Krishna. And people could call in. And I would tell them about Prabhupada's books. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Question, boys. What is the self? What is he referring to? What is the self? Your shirt? Is that yourself? What's the self? The body is the self. F. You failed. You just got an F grade. The heart. So, doctors who do heart transplants, they're satisfying the self? What is the self? No. What is the first lesson? Now, I told you guys to memorize this. What is the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? Do you remember we went over this? I had you repeat it three times. What is the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? Don't tell him. This is their exam. How quickly we forget. Adults, what is the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? We're not what? Did you hear that? So is the heart part of the body or the soul? Oh, really? The heart is part of the soul. I'm talking about the thing that pumps. The red thing in your body that pumps. Yeah, yeah. That's the body. That ain't the soul. Yes, it pumps in and out. So, boys, you failed. Now we're going to have to do it again, three times. The first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, repeat, boys, is that I am not my body. I am not my mind. I'm not my heart. I am spirit soul. Say that two more times. Oh, just that? The whole sentence. No. The first lesson of Bhagavad Gita is that I am not my body. I am spirit soul. Say it. Good. So next week or whenever we have our next class and this question comes up, don't fail me. Because if this is not understood, we can't read Srimad Bhagavatam, can we? Can we? No. This has to be understood. So he's talking about the soul, not the body. All right. Purport. Since it has been stated herein before that in the Bhagavatam the absolute truth is to be known, the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya are proper and just because they pertain to Krishna, who is the supreme personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15, the personality of Godhead says that in all the Vedas, there is nothing but the urge for searching after him. The verse is, Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedya vedantakrid vedavid eva chaham. One of the most important verses of Bhagavad Gita. The questions that pertain to Krishna are the sum and substance of all Vedic inquiries. The whole world is full of questions and answers. The birds, beasts, and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds in the nest become busy with questions and answers. And in the evening also, the same birds come back and again become busy with questions and answers. Prabhupada is talking about birds chirping. If you listen, if you have birds in the trees, you'll notice they are chirping, making their... So that's what Prabhupada is talking about. The businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers. And so also the lawyers in the court and the students in the schools and colleges. And then I'm going to add my sentence. And the real estate agents are also asking questions and answers. Mothers with their children are getting questions. Did you brush your teeth? Did you do your homework? These are the questions a mother asks. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers. And the politicians and the press representatives are all busy with questions and answers. Although they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, they are not at all satisfied. Satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. This is such a nice purport. Krishna is our most intimate master, friend, father, or son, and object of conjugal love. So those are the five rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. Forgetting Krishna, we have created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them are able to give us complete satisfaction. Before most of you existed, how many people were alive in 1965? You were alive in 65? Oh, very good. He is now on the Brahminical platform. Very good. Mahesh, I'm very impressed. That is how a Brahmin thinks. Wow. I'm really in. You are in. Wow. You get two. You don't know that. You get two extra hugs today. I'm really impressed. Very nice. So when I was 15 years old, in the summer of 65, there was this song that everybody was singing. I can't get no satisfaction. So that's exactly the absolute truth. I didn't know at the time that that's the absolute truth. I just thought it was a rock and roll song. But he was singing the absolute truth. I can't get no satisfaction. Which is true. Prabhupada is saying right here. All things but Krishna give temporary satisfaction only. So if we are to have complete satisfaction, we must take to the questions and answers about Krishna. You guys know Mehul Shah? Do you know who is Mehul? He came a couple of times to Kundan Loka. And he came last night, and he came early, and he was helping me set up. And while he was helping me, he was asking me one question after the other. And it just so happens that yesterday's purport, the verse we studied, also answered every question that he had. And we were amazed, like, wow, that's exactly the answer to your question. He had like 5-6 questions. It was a mystical experience. We cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna, we can derive the highest satisfaction only by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. One should learn the Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, or religious matters. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. Yes, sir.
Why does Srila Prabhupada differentiate Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna? They're not different from each other, right?
In the sense, I'll have to speculate. I don't know exactly why, but I would speculate that the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to become completely convinced that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So, saying the two things just reiterates the main point. Srimad Bhagavatam, what's it meant for? It's meant for understanding Krishna. It's Krishna's Janma Karma. You know in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam? You know that verse? Chapter 4, verse 10. Another one of the big verses. Krishna says in chapter 4, verse 10, that if you know his birth and activities, you don't come back to this material world. We went over this. That's okay. I'll repeat it. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punar janma Naiti, Mamati, Sarjuna. One who knows in truth my appearance and activities will not take birth again in this material world, but comes back to me. So where will you learn Krishna's activities? Srimad book, Krishna book, and Krishna book is where? 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's just making sure that you understand Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. So it goes together. Yes? Tatvataha, in truth, scientifically, realization, not according to what grandma said. According to the absolute truth, scientifically. You understand the difference? That's the meaning of that word, tatvataha, in truth. In other words, yes, you say people Hinduism, but they think, oh, Krishna is just one of the gods, as if to dismiss it, right? Or you were telling a story, I won't mention the name, of a particular individual who thinks he's Krishna, and everybody thinks he's the best Bhagavatam, right? Right? That's not in truth. That's sahajya. You have to understand these things as they really are. That's why Bhagavad Gita as it is. Not Bhagavad Gita according to Mahatma Gandhi. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yes. Shall we do one more verse and then take prasad? Well, thank you very much. Text number 6. Oh, this verse is so important. I want to wait. No. No, this, no. We're going to stop here because this verse is like primo, prime real estate. All right, so what we'll do is I'll ask questions.